And Special Rapporteur, thank you for agreeing to speak with me today.
Thank you.
You've been in Australia and conveyed your preliminary findings in a press conference. In your visit, did you encounter multiple and intersecting forms of discrimination and violence against women in Australia?
Yes, especially with respect to Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander women and girls. And their situation is really showing up how these multiple forms of discrimination are influencing their lives.
Like what? What type of?
Because they are marginalized, they're somehow not really included in mainstream policies related to elimination of violence against women, especially those living in remote areas. They do have, let's say, specific areas in which they are living in camps that are completely different from situation with respect to women living in urban areas and having other possibilities.
And so what effect does this have on them?
They do not have facilities in terms of housing, in terms of employment, in terms of services needed for prevention of violence. Even shelters are shelters only for a few days to escape from temporary violence, but then to go back. Or then usually men from such communities are often in a prison. Even women are going to prison. So complete setting is different because they are facing multiple forms of discrimination. This intersecting between race and gender is really key to address violence against women that is happening in such communities.
And do you find that the Aboriginal communities themselves do have the solution?
They do have a very important request that they should be fully included in all policies related to their situation, and this is not yet the case. And they do have requests for adequate financial resources for their socioeconomic situation, for closing the gap with respect to their situation, and for policies related to violence against women. So they are not receiving that. They do not have... they do not have a possibility to fully influence those policies. So they should be really addressed by specific national action plan on violence against women and gender equality in order to give them such possibility to really fully participate in all other global, let's say, federal policies related to this area.
And did you find that, did you visit with women who were concerned about violence against women with disabilities? What did you find there?
I had meetings with numerous non-governmental organizations that are composed of women with disabilities, and they are strong advocates for their rights, for better regulation in this area, and for implementation of international standards accepted by Australia. Here I'm referring to CEDAW Convention, Convention on the Elimination of All Forms of Discrimination Against Women, and RCPD Convention, Convention that is dealing with persons with disabilities. And it seems that also it was a Senate inquiry with respect to their position with certain recommendations that are not yet followed up. So it would be important to address their situation at the legal and policy level.
And did they give you the impression that it was endemic, violence against women with disabilities, that it was an urgent issue? Or
they gave me impression that they are not sufficiently included and they are not sufficiently covered by legal framework and policies.
And what about women and girls in prisons? Did you have any discussions on women, violence against women, with women and girls in prisons, why they were there and during prisons and conditions?
This is the area that surprised me with respect to their, let's say, very difficult situation in this country. I was surprised that women that are in pretrial detention are in the same correction facility with those that are sentenced. that such facility is high security facility, and they
what
are.
What does that mean?
There are many fences around. You must go through so many doors. It is high security level prison, and sometimes they are even in solitary cells, and they are going through all these processes, even. When they're entering such facility on minor charges like fine, non-paid fines, or some mild things that should not be for incarceration, and also that minors that are not yet adults, that are not yet 18 years old, could be in same facility as those that are in pretrial detention and this. Facilities for already sentenced persons. So it is something that was not in line with international standards and something that I did not expect.
So incarceration like that you see as a form of violence?
It is form of institutionalized state-based discrimination that is not following accepted UN rules for women in prison for such level of offences, because they should be in different type of facilities. Prison should be last resort, because many times they have small children, there are not enough prison places for mothers with children, so they are sent, children are sent away, and there is a whole idea that the prison should be more humane. They should really address the needs of women in prison. And for example, now we are seeing that for breach of protection order, sometimes there is issuance of reciprocal protection order with respect to women and men involved, husband and wife or partners involved. And for breach of such order, sometimes women could go to such prison. And then this is really degendering the whole idea of protection orders applied in a gendered manner, because if for such reason she is going to such facility in a case of let's say, violence that is not at a high level, it is really questionable.
And with the minors, were you surprised that they were in? What age are we talking about?
I was surprised, because personally I have seen two girls of 17, but I have read in documents that it is possible to have from 10 years on young persons in such facilities, and this is something that surprised me.
Well, thank you very much.
Thank you.